south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, get this. I was just reading the results of the latest Gallup poll about people who want to leave the U.S. for whatever reason, mostly because they either hate Trump or Biden. Now, of course, you and I know they'll never leave. People are all talk, especially those blowhard blabbermouths in Hollywood. Anyway, according to this very recent Gallup poll, Canada is the top desired destination for would-be immigrant Americans. And they're basing it on the fact that Google reported a huge spike in the number of searches for how to apply for Canadian citizenship while in the U.S. By the way, the number one reason people want to move to Canada, this is according to the poll too, is the dreaded prospect of bankruptcy as a result of unforeseen medical expenses. Well, you know what that says to me? People are terribly misinformed because obviously they haven't investigated the fact they can get first world medical treatment in Latin America for a quarter to a sixth the price of first world medical care. Better yet, if you're under 65 and in some cases 59. You could get absolutely first-rate medical coverage with virtually no deductible from anywhere from $75 to $150 a month for a single person, that is. For a family, a little bit more, as expected. So much for Americans being the most informed people in the world. They ain't. Oh, and also in this poll, it says that record numbers of Americans are wanting to flee the U.S. Like I said, talk is cheap. Or all of the maggots in Hollywood would have moved to Canada or Mexico by now. Anyway, according to the poll, 20% of Americans are saying now that they want to flee the U.S. That as opposed to 16% of Americans who said that in 2018 and 2017. By the way, back in the corrupt Bush days and Obama days, in the same kind of poll, Americans who wanted to leave came in at 10% of the people polled. And 99.9% of them never left either. Blowhards and grandstanders, all of them. But here's the real kicker. It says, particularly American young women say they have the desire to leave America permanently. In fact, according to this Gallup poll, fully 40% of women younger than 30 say they would like to leave the U.S. And you know what I say? We don't want you here in Latin America. You can go to Canada. Makes you wonder, though, since most young women, even men under 30, can't really support themselves without some help from mommy and daddy. If they did happen to move out of the States and their clueless parents cut them off, I wonder how long it would take them to move back to mommy's basement in Cleveland with their tail between their legs. Yep, talk is cheap. It always has been. Now, speaking of lost in translation, and even if we weren't speaking of it, we will now. You know, that happens all the time, even with me, and I've been down here a long time. And mostly when I slip up and don't get what people are talking about is because I'm talking to someone working a regular grunt job on the street. I'm referring to the Latino taxi driver, shoeshine boy, plumber, even cop. And that's because, you know, in every Latin country, people on the street speak with their own type of slang. It's like the difference between the way a New Yorker on the street talks and someone from California or Texas. Now, even if you're 100% native-born American, you can't tell me you understand everything a guy from New York or Texas says. And we haven't even touched the subject of ghetto talk yet and the linguistic rat hole gutter of rap music. I gotta tell you, with some movies and videos, when something's happening in the ghetto, I don't know about you, but I have to read the subtitles. Same thing goes for rap music. Though, I don't know who first thought of the idea that the word music should follow the word rap. They've got nothing in common. Talk about irony. Oh, and another thing about talking to someone on the street in Spanish. They've been adding more and more English terms, but they don't always pronounce them like we do. So sometimes they'll just slip right by you, and they won't even ring a bell. For example, the word full, F-U-L-L, full. You know, just in the past year or two, I've been hearing that word in lots of Spanish conversations. But it took me a while to realize they were using it. Because you see, when listening to someone speak Spanish, once in a while there'll be a word or two you don't get and your brain just kind of fills the gap. Because as long as you get 80 or 90% of the words, you'll get the message. Take the word full, F-U-L-L. Now, if you're at a Latin American gas station and you say, fill her up, he won't know what the hell you're talking about. By the way, they still have guys filling your tank down here. Not like up in the States where it's all do-it-yourself. So anyway, if you say fill her up, they'll give you a blank stare. But if you say full, they'll give you a blank stare too. But if you say full, they'll know exactly what you're talking about. And really, there ain't much difference between full and full. But there you have it. Even that could be lost in translation. So anyway, just the other day I was driving up to a gated, guarded community. You know, the type where visitors have to check in with a guard. So anyway, as what happens sometimes when you're way off the gringo tourist trail, like I usually am, the locals don't get to see very many gringos in person at all, much less actually talk to one of them. So anyway, as a visitor, I was required to show him a copy of my passport, and then he'd take a smartphone photo of it. Now, normally that's something that really pisses me off. Why should I give some pot-bellied rent-a-cop a photo of my ID document? That's a complete invasion of your privacy. Not to mention, once someone's taken a photo on their phone, everything's up in the cloud. But, you know, I solved that problem a long time ago. You see, I whipped out an altered, photoshopped copy of my passport. The one I gave him had my real last name erased. Of course, he was none the wiser. Didn't make any difference to him. He was used to the fact that many people, especially Latinos, have very simple or convoluted names. Some Latinos have two names, or three names, or four, even five names on their ID decks. Some have two identical names, like Alfredo Martinez Martinez, or Pedro Junior Junior Vasquez. That's right, I once had a maintenance guy with two juniors in his name. Then, of course, they've got their last names, which is their father's last name, and they use their mother's last name as the ultimate name. So you might have Juan Enrique Eduardo Gomez Gonzalez. That's pretty normal. And the last name, Gonzalez, is the mother's maiden name. So believe me, whatever name you might have on your ID documents or passport or whatever, no one's ever going to question it. Whereas up in the States, if you've got two or three middle names, people are going to think that's kind of strange. So anyway, this guy's looking at a copy of my Photoshop passport. Now, one thing to remember. These days, more and more outfits, besides government agencies, like utility and internet companies, etc., they're going to want to see an original ID document, like a driver's license or passport. But I've found, here in Latin America, in 99% of the cases, you can get them to accept the nice printed copy of your passport, no matter how you've Photoshopped it, when they're asking for the real thing, by just saying that your passport's at the U.S. or Canadian embassy, whatever, because it's in the process of getting renewed. Believe me, they almost always buy that excuse, because Latinos, of all people, know exactly how horrible government bureaucracies can be. Now, as for me, I always carry a nice color copy of my real passport, unaltered, just in case, and a nice colored copy of my Photoshop passport. All right, I know some of you might be thinking, isn't that illegal? Can I get in trouble for that? And what can they really do to me if they find out? Well, let me put it this way. You're a gringo, and you've got that gringo advantage, and Latinos believe practically everything you say, or at least give you the benefit of the doubt. They've got all those positive stereotypes about us, whether they're true or not. Besides that, if you, for example, like I do, eliminate your last name on the passport, really, think about it. You've committed no crime. You haven't created a new name. That's still your name. For example, if you use that Photoshopped passport to get a SIM card or to sign up for an electric or water utility or even a Costco or Sam's Club card, as long as you pay your bills, there's no fraud. Sure, there's some sleight of hand going on, but it's all done in the name of retaining some privacy and having a low profile. So I carry a copy of my real passport and a kind of a doctored passport. I never travel with my real passport unless I'm traveling across borders. Oh, and by the way, one of the places they'll always ask you for your real passport is at a hotel when you're checking in. And when they ask for the real one, I just pull out my copy and say my real one's at the embassy getting renewed. Because, you know, it's true. If you have to get a replacement passport because your pages are all filled up or you're close to the date of expiration, they'll take your passport for a couple of weeks. And when you get the new one back, the old one will come with it. Only the old one will have some holes punched in it. So then you might ask, why don't the government slugs just keep the old one and send the brand new one? Well, that's because you've got an entrance stamp in that old passport in the country you're in. And you'll need to show that at the airport on your way out when you're traveling. You get it? Not only that, if you happen to have residency in a particular Latin country, and it's always recommended, you know, there'll be an extra page with some official stamps and signatures and stuff, and a barcode and some other junk added to your passport. That's your proof of residency in whatever country. And that page is glued and bonded in there permanently. So If the government kept that passport, you wouldn't have any proof of residency while traveling. And you'll need that when you're passing through borders, so you don't have to pay a fee upon entering or exiting the country you have residency in. For example, most Latin countries, when you fly in, will charge you $10 or $20, thinking you're coming in as a tourist. But if you have a residency stamp from that country, you walk right through and don't pay a thing. And of course, you know that gringos and expats who don't have residency, who are just coming as a tourist to a Latin country, only get 90 days in that country. If you stay one day over, they'll start finding you by the day. Just a couple of bucks, but it adds up if you've stayed some months over your time. However, you won't pay a centavo if you've got that residency sticker in your passport. So that means if you do get a new passport for whatever reason, you'll have to hang on to the old one with the residency stamp and travel with both of them. I know it sounds rather inconvenient traveling with two passports, but the only way you can get around that is to have that residency stamp reissued and pasted into your new passport, but that's a pain in the ass. Though it can be done, I've heard it takes a couple of months. That means they'll be holding your passport for a couple of months. And that to me is not a very good bargain, especially if you travel a lot or like to travel on the spur of the moment. Because, you know, then you're stuck in your Latin country of residence till you get that passport back, because you can't travel without it. But you knew that already. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. I drove up to the guard station at a gated, guarded community because I'm going to visit a Latino guy. And this is way off the gringo tourist trail. So the guard decided he wanted to be friends with me because I was probably the only gringo he's seen in months, maybe. Then he starts telling me in Spanish, of course, he's got an uncle and a brother and a cousin in my jambi. And he pulls out his wallet and shows me some pictures and wonders if I ever met him. Yeah, right. Like the U.S. is as big as Panama and you can drive from one end to the other in 45 minutes. But it's true, that's the impression most Latinos have who've never been to the States. Not that Americans are any better at geography. I mean, look, if you saw a map of the U.S. that wasn't labeled, could you put the right names on every state? Only about 1 in 20 adult Americans can do that. Pretty pathetic. So anyway, I showed this guy a copy of my doctored passport. And since he was showing me his whole family album, I asked him what his name was. Alfredo Huachiman, he said. And I thought, yep, definitely an indigenous last name, Huachiman. So a couple of minutes later, another car pulls up behind us. He has to attend to him, so I drove on through. I went up to the condo of the Latino guy I was visiting. It was on the third floor, and he had a nice balcony that overlooked everything, the pool, the tennis courts, the whole bit. It was an upscale place. And he said, Johnny, did you know that guard from somewhere? I saw you down there gabbing with him for a long time. I said, no, I think he's never spoken to a real gringo before, and he just had to bond with me and show me all the mugshots of his illegal relatives up in the States. And then I said, man, you know, he looks 100% Latino. Doesn't seem to be indigenous, but his last name sure is. I wonder how he spells it. Then my Latin buddy said, Alfredo? He's not indigenous. And I said, with a last name like Huachiman? And my Latin buddy just cracked up laughing. He said, Johnny, Huachiman's not a name. He's just telling you he's the guard. He's the watchman. So there you have it. Even a guy with 30 years in Latin America like me, I have my duh moments too. So don't feel so bad when it happens to you. Speaking of lost in translation, listen to this. Remember a couple of weeks ago I was talking about how I just absolutely hate the motorcycles here, and I'm glad I don't have a gun in the car because I'm sure I'd be in jail right now. Well, it just so happened coincidence and serendipity joined hands about 2 days after I did that show. Turns out, right after I went on that motorcycle hate rant, I discovered there's a top 10 reggaeton song on that very subject. Now, of course, as a real grade B musician in a past life, I cannot stomach reggaeton, but it's everywhere here in Latin America, and you gotta tune it out or somehow live with it. Especially if you have a Latina girlfriend, that's all they listen to. Though, thankfully, for the ladies, it's not about the infantile lyrics, it's about the beat, because they love the dance. Anyway, just 2 days after that motorcycle hate rant, I was sitting in a little cafe having an espresso and a brownie. And, of course, the reggaeton's pumping away. I was sitting at the table closest to the counter, and the two young ladies working there were singing this song. You know, Latinas will often just break into a dance move for 10 or 15 seconds and sing along with the chorus or refrain, which is the most popular part of any song. And in this particular song, I couldn't believe my ears. The chorus, or the main theme of the song, was, get this, weed in el casco. And soon, practically every young lady in the place was singing just the chorus, weed in el casco. So I asked, what's that mean? weed en el casco.
I wasn't getting it. I never heard that phrase before.
So she said slowly, the first word weed is marijuana. And I said, oh, weed in English. I get it. Then I thought, just more proof that English words are slipping more and more into the Spanish vernacular. Then she said, en el casco means in my helmet. So the whole song was about a motorcyclist who was hiding his marijuana in his helmet. So then the lady explained to me the whole song was about a motorcyclist who got pulled over by the cops, being searched, and getting away with it because he had his weed stashed in his helmet. Thus the chorus, weed in el casco. And investigating further, I found out that throughout Latin America, you can just call up your local weed dealer and he'll send it over to your house or wherever you are via motorcycle. And guess where the guy hides it? Where else? Though I guess now since the song, the cops are wise to it. Now, you probably know already that there's only one or two countries in Latin America where weed is strictly legal. But Mexico and some others are coming online soon. So technically it's a crime to smoke weed or have it delivered on a motorcycle in most Latin countries. Even though the cops know it and they'll never arrest you, they'll just take you weed. I've heard many firsthand stories that back it up. Oh, and by the way, as mentioned in a past show, motorcyclists almost never get pulled over by the cops because they're too slippery and evasive. And man, I'll tell you, the motorcycle theme in that song has really touched a nerve. People are singing and dancing to it almost everywhere. Weed in El Casco. Now, I'm not saying I like this song. I can't stand reggaeton. But I have to admit, it's become a phenomenon. And I expect it'll last in the public consciousness at least a month or two before getting edged out by some other trivial piece of musical garbage. To me, you know, it's interesting how a certain phrase or a turn of a phrase can go viral. It just goes to show how unpredictable human nature is. Now, for you doubters out there, here is a piece of this song so you can get an idea what it's like. You ready to lose a few IQ points? Here goes. All right, enough of that. Your knuckles dragging yet? So anyway, when that song's playing and you hear it everywhere these days, just that part, that refrain, weed en el casco, that's the only phrase people know. The other words don't seem to make a bit of difference. So when the song comes to that little segment, that's when people just yell it out. By the way, I've been to some fiestas, some parties, where the weed in El Casco delivery guy has shown up. That's a real thing, you know, and why everybody's so hung up on the song now. Hey, I know you're curious. The going price for what used to be called a lid or an ounce, I understand it's around $20. Now, I've heard in the States it's a hell of a lot more than that. Though I understand up by you in those weed dispensaries, they've got an infinite number of formulations and strengths. By the way, as far as CBD oil, have any of you listeners out there tried it? Well, I ordered a bottle myself just to see what would happen when it came through the Miami Courier because I understand in most Latin countries it's not legal yet. Well, it came on through, no problem whatsoever. And I know a few other expats in various Latin countries have ordered this stuff and it came through just fine for them too. Even though technically in most places, again, it's illegal. But eventually, of course, it will be legalized. It's all about the lag time thing, you know. But the good news is, though there are laws against it, no one's enforcing it. That's a typical Latin American thing. Fact is, I don't think a Latino cop or authority figure has ever even seen a bottle of CBD oil. I don't think in a million years they'd know what the hell it was. That's a good thing. Now, not to toot my own horn too much here. Let me ask you this. There are dozens, if not hundreds, of expat podcasts out there to choose from. By the way, you know, I was the first one in the whole world to have a continuous weekly show on the subject. The question is, where are you going to find that kind of social commentary from anybody else? The thing is, for a gringo or an expat, to get your finger on the pulse of the real people here in Latin America, you gotta live down here a long, long time and off the tourist trail. You just can't land in Cancun, Panama, or Costa Rica and start podcasting like the expert expat. You ain't. But people are out there doing it. Good luck with that. Then again, maybe lots of listeners want the on the gringo tourist trail take on things. Well, sorry, you won't get it here. All right, let's talk about real estate in the bubble that's been popped. You know, here in Latin America and the rest of the world, the tourism business is absolutely shot. And along with that, prime real estate, especially in tourist areas, is going down the black hole too. In fact, to give you an example of just how bad it is, listen to this. Here's an article that just came out of the biggest business journal in Panama. It says, a real estate rental bill was just presented to the National Assembly in Panama to regulate the leasing of real estate so that renters can now, by law, have the option to buy the property they're renting. Then it says, in order to prop up the unprecedented slump in real estate, Panama's Minister of Housing and Land Management presented this brand new bill to the legislature. Accordingly, this bill's legislation would turn rentals into leases with an option to buy, with the whole point of this legislation being to reactivate a dead housing market. This all-new formula, the bill's sponsors say, will allow many young people and newly married couples to have a built-in option to purchase a house or apartment that they're renting. Then it says, since millennials, the foundation of the newer buyer's market, don't have the down payment money for a traditional mortgage. That's the reason, it says, millennials are not buying homes now. So in effect, the bill is offering a subsidy to new homeowners, with the landlords having to take the hit. For one thing, if a renter is allowed the option to buy, they don't pay the real estate taxes. The landlord continues to pay them until some later date when the title is turned over to the new owners. Think about that for a second. That means as a landlord in Panama, you're doubly screwed. First of all, if you have rentals, you've lost future control over the ownership because you're forced to allow renters the option to buy. You've got no choice in the matter. All the while, you're stuck paying the property taxes. Not that property taxes in Panama or the rest of Latin America are high. They're exceptionally cheap compared to real estate taxes in the States. But still, average real estate taxes are a couple hundred bucks a year. In most cases, the equivalent of a month's rent. But the real kicker? You have to give every renter the option to buy. Man, that reeks of Big Brother. If that law gets enacted, and it looks like it will, I'd never want to be a landlord in Panama. What a terrible precedent. Man, there's something really wrong with that. All right, as promised in the last show, we'll finish off my toolbox list. You do remember on the last show, I gave you a nice basic list of stuff you have to have around the house, or you're going to need to have around the house, once you move to Latin America. I'm not saying you should go out and buy that stuff all at once. But believe me, as soon as you move into a place, you're going to find out you need lots of the stuff I have on this list right away. All right, so we left off last time with, I think, 2 wood chisels in your kit. I recommend you have one that's 1/4 inch wide and one that's 3/4 inch wide. So what might you use those for? Well, if you plan on changing any locks or door hinges yourself, you'll definitely need them. You'll also need a paint scraper and a scraping tool that holds a razor blade. Well, down here, you'll find a lot of uses for it, since the locals down here are terrible when it comes to painting. They'll splatter stuff on your floors, counters, and windows, and to get that off, you'll need a scraper. Best one to use is the type you could keep changing the blades in. The cost is around $2. You'll also need some assorted nylon tie wraps, too. I also think you should buy a set of 3 expansion bits. You know what they are? They're drill bits that are tapered and look like a cone, specifically for use in sheet metal and laminate metal. First, you drill a pilot hole with the regular bit, then use the expansion bit. It'll allow you to take a small hole and make a very big hole out of it in a hurry. Believe me, if you're drilling holes of any kind in metal, expansion bits really come in handy. Set of 3, probably $10. And do get a can of silicone spray. There's no better way to loosen up drawers and hinges. You should have some WD-40 around the house too, especially if you're living close to the beach or the ocean, where locks can oxidize and freeze up. And do get some assorted screws, nuts, washers, and bolts. In every hardware store, there's a nuts and bolts aisle. You should grab a different size package every time you go in. Then, in a couple of months, you'll have a nice assorted collection. You should get some assorted electrical wire nuts, too. You'll need them if you're doing any lamp, outlet, or appliance wiring. Now, Latinos don't use those things. They just wrap their electrical connections in black tape. Not a good idea. But down here, it's anything to save a buck. Don't you fall in that trap. Use real wire nuts, and they're color-coded for size. And get a heavy-duty electric outlet strip, too. And get a portable utility lamp, the kind that clamps onto things. They're about $5. And something I use all the time, an LED headlamp. You know, it's a little lamp on an elastic strap, goes around your forehead. Then you don't have to use a flashlight at night or to get into dark spaces. For plumbing, get a roll of Teflon tape, a can of acetone, which is the universal solvent or cleaner. Also get one of those small camping propane bottles that are around $5 or $6. And buy one of those brass screw-on attachments that'll turn that propane tank into a little torch. Also buy a metal file that has a handle. They have 2 sides. One side is fine and one coarse. Oh, and get some safety glasses and a mask. Ha ha.
Like, we all don't have one or 100 of them laying around the house, huh?
Get some gardener's gloves. You know, the white cotton ones? Those will really save you from cuts, scrapes, and wear and tear on your hands. Especially when you're doing things like woodworking or plumbing. So anyway, there you have it. Your basic expat toolkit. And I think if you had all the stuff I recommended, you're probably looking at $200. Again, you don't have to run out and get all this stuff. Just collect it little by little. Oh, and for you real serious do-it-yourselfers and weekend warrior project guys and gals, I have some additional items that are worthwhile to get. Starting with a bench grinder, a tabletop drill press, a hand grinder, a circular saw, a belt sander with assorted belts, a reciprocal saw, normally called a sawzall, an electric hand planer, a Dremel tool kit, but skip the brand name Dremel. Get a Tack Life. It's much cheaper. And just as good, if not better, for a third of the price. Serious do-it-yourselfers have a table saw and a power miter saw, along with a plunge router, a soldering iron with a regulated power station, a heat gun, which is basically an industrial hairdryer, a welder, and of course a welding mask and gloves. Oh, and if you're afraid of welding and you've never done it before, they've got 1,000 instructional YouTubes on it. Check it out. Next, a wood planer that's got at least a 12-inch feed. In other words, it'll plane up to a 12-inch wide board. And a small air compressor really comes in handy. And finally, a metal cutoff saw. You'll be needing that if you're doing any construction or cutting pipes and rebar. Of course, you'll need a workbench or table. You can do that with 2 sawhorses and a sheet of 4x4-foot plywood, 3/4 inch thick. You can either make the horses out of 2x4 wood studs yourself or buy a workbench. I say if you're the average do-it-yourselfer, make the table yourself. You'll save $100. Personally, I've got 2 sawhorses that are collapsible, so I could just toss them in the back of a car and head to a job site. Now, of course, this tool list for the serious do-it-yourselfer is going to cost a few $100. But most all can be obtained used on OLX.com or other online Craigslist-type sites. Good luck with the scrounging. Oh, and just a tip, don't tell people you have this stuff or they'll be forever borrowing it from you. And finally, as this show goes out on November 8th, 2020, you've got about a week left to sign up for my Expat Insider Seminar that's coming up in January and still qualify for the early bird discounts. So if you want to save $500 off the regular price, go to expatplanb.com, read the info, check it out, and sign up. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.